Fill us with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we will walk worthy of you unto all pleasing and increasing in the knowledge of God. Help us today that we all with an unveiled face, as we behold us in the mirror, the glory of God, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by your Spirit. Let these words not come in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much conviction, that none shall escape the transformation that comes by the rushing Spirit that lives in us. Thank you, Father, for a great day today. In your presence, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, please be seated. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, you're welcome to our second service. I believe that your life will never be the same again. I said, Apostle, please, it's not possible to be there. Man of God, please come forward. Let's appreciate the Reverend Emmanuel Samba. A very great general of God. Wow, man of God. If I knew you were coming, you should have preached, though, man of God. Wow. What an honor. Wow. Wow. Man of God, thank you so much for coming for service today. It's really a big surprise. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be here? You are not excited. Are you excited to be here? All right, so you're welcome to a second service. I trust that the Spirit of God is going to teach you something today. Amen. All right, so we are dealing with foundations for the spirit life. Remember, our theme for this year is a year of the spirit life. A year of the spirit life. So last week, we began to look at the foundations for the spirit life, and we began to look at who the Holy Spirit is. Now, you got to pay attention, because I'm going to use about 5 minutes to do a recap. Then we can continue with our teaching today. Amen. Now, we began to look at some nicknames of the Holy Spirit. And we said that a nickname of a person describes the function of that person. Like Minister Godwin said, if you hear that someone is called Scorpion, what comes to mind? That this guy is going to be a bad boy. Praise God. So, it reveals the identity of a person. When you hear someone is called Power, that means the person has some strength. Are you following that? So, the Holy Spirit is not just called the Holy Spirit. When you read the book of Isaiah chapter 63, the verse 9, the Bible calls him the angel of his presence. And that means that we said that the Holy Spirit is the one in charge of activities of the presence of God. He's the carrier of the presence of God. The atmosphere we sense during worship meetings is actually performed, done by the Holy Spirit. He's the one responsible for making the presence of God real to us. So in case you are having worship in your bedroom and you begin to sense a strong presence, the Holy Spirit is the one responsible for making that to happen. Are you following this? Number two, the Bible calls him the glory of the Father, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 4. He's called the glory of the Father. That means the Holy Spirit is responsible for bringing glory in the lives of people. Number three, he's called the Spirit of Holiness. In Romans chapter 1, verse 4, he's called the Spirit of Holiness. That means he's the one that separates men. We said that holiness is not the same as holy living, but holy living is birth from holiness. When we say something has been made holy, it doesn't mean that thing has been stopped from sinning. Because in the Old Testament, cups, utensils were made holy. It means when things were made holy, it means those things were separated. They were consecrated for the Lord's use. So, for example, if this pulpit has been consecrated, it is called holy in a sense that it has been separated to be used for the purposes of God. Are you following that? So, when we say the believer is holy, we are first saying he has been separated unto God's what? Purposes or God's use. So, when you are separated and you live a separate life, what you are doing is called holy living. A life that is birthed from holiness. Are you following this thing at all? So the Spirit of Holiness is called the Spirit of Holiness because he separates men unto God. Are you following this? Now, number four, his nickname is called the Spirit of Truth. The word truth in Greek is aletheia, which means reality. That means the Holy Spirit can bring true meaning to your life. He is the Spirit of reality. He makes your life real. He makes you experience God. He is the Spirit of truth. He's responsible for that reality. Are you following this? Number five, he's called the Spirit of grace. According to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29, he's called the Spirit of grace. The word grace means favor. It means unmerited favor. It means divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Which means that the Holy Spirit is the one responsible for bringing divine influence over you. He's the one that gives you advantage in the spirit realm. He's the one responsible for making favor a reality in your life. And then last but not the least, he's called the Spirit of life. According to Romans chapter 8, verse 2, the Bible says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of life. That means he's the one responsible for bringing life into your life. So he brings life to your prayer life. He brings life to your Bible reading. Because listen to me, it is good to open your Bible, but if it is good, it is better for the Bible to be open to you. Because you can open the Bible and still know nothing. But when the Bible is open to you, that's when you begin to know God. And it is the Holy Spirit who is responsible for opening the Bible to you. So if you open the Bible and the Bible is not open to you by the Spirit, you will be blind and you will read letters. Are you following this? So he brings life and meaning to your spiritual life. There are many Christians who are dead in their spirituality. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is not involved. Praise God. And then finally, he is the Spirit of sonship, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of sonship or adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That means the Holy Spirit is the one responsible for awakening us to the fatherhood of God. He makes the fatherhood of God real to you. Many of you know God, but you don't know him as a father yet. So the Spirit is the one that awakens you to the reality of the fatherhood of God. Praise God. Now we began to look at some further things about the Spirit. And we established the doctrine of Trinity in our teaching. In as much as I'm going to take that as a real subject, we came to realize that there is one God who exists in three persons. A lot of times many Christians are confused. So how can God be three? Is he one or three? He is one in essence, but exists in three persons. When you read Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God. That word God is Elohim. That's a plural God. Then the next verse began to break it down for us to see the Father, Son, and the Spirit. Now, he says, in the beginning, God. That's plural. He began to break it down. The next verse says, and the earth was without form, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit. So we saw the first personality, the Holy Spirit. So he says, the Spirit of God moved over the waters, the verse 3, and God, that's the Father, did what? Said the word, let there be light, and it was light. So we see the Spirit, we see the Father, and we see the Word of God, Jesus Christ. We saw them revealed here. Remember when Jesus Christ was being baptized, the Bible tells us in the book of Luke chapter 3, the verse 21 and 22, that when he was baptized, Jesus, the Son, was the one being baptized. And the Bible says the Spirit descended in a bodily shape of a dove. Then the next verse says, God said, this is my beloved Son. The voice came. So we saw the Son standing being baptized, the Spirit coming upon him, and the Father saying. So we saw the Trinity here. The Godhead here. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, the verse 18, quickly give that to me. The Bible tells us, for through him, who is the him? Jesus. We both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So we saw him, Jesus. We saw Spirit, and we see the Father. In 1 John chapter 5, the verse 7, quickly give that to me. The Bible says there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. But these three are one. Are you getting that? So there is Trinity, the Godhead, is being proven in Scripture. God is one in essence, but exists in three persons. And there's a reason I explained to you that if you can't understand it, understand H2O. H2O can be liquid, it can be solid, it can be what? Gas. But same essence, H2O. Are you getting that? So we said that they are one in a sense that they are all playing one role in making man what they intend to, but they exist in different persons. So we explained to you last week that the Father is the conception or the inception. The Son is the transaction, and the Spirit is the transmission. So the Father conceives the plan, the Son transacts the plan, and the Spirit transmits the plan. Are we following this? So God had a plan of saving you. He conceived it. And who transacted it on the cross? The Son, Jesus. And who transmits it to become a reality in your life? The Spirit. So the Father is the source, the Son is the cause, and the Spirit is the effect. So they operate hand in hand to make sure that the Christian becomes a better person in which God intends for him. Are we following this? So we began to look at some few things more about the Holy Spirit, and then we said that the Holy Spirit is, number one, a person. For you to qualify to be a person, you must have certain features. You must have a will. You must have what? Emotions. Number three, you must have what? A mind. And we explain that the Holy Spirit has a mind, he has a will, and he has emotions. He can also teach. Personal pronouns are used to describe him. The Bible says, when he, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is not a thing. When you understand that, you say, something told me not to cross. What's that something? The Spirit. He's a personality. And listen, because the Holy Spirit is a personality, he desires for a relationship. So one thing that hurts the Holy Spirit is that you don't have or build a relationship with him. I'm helping someone here today. Number two, we also said the Holy Spirit is God. And for one to qualify to be a God, there are three distinct attributes that you must possess to qualify to be a God. I explained to you that in the entirety of the attributes of God, they are actually divided into two. We have what we call the communicable attributes, and then we have the non-communicable attributes. Communicable attributes are attributes that God can share with man. Non-communicable attributes are attributes that God has alone. He doesn't share it. So, for example, love is a communicable attribute of God. So God loves, man can love. Mercy is a communicable attribute, because God shows mercy, man can show mercy. Grace or graciousness is a communicable attribute. God is gracious, man can also be gracious. Are you getting that? But in the non-communicable attributes of God, one of them is omnipotence. That's all powerful. So one can have power, but he's not all powerful. It's only God that has these attributes. He doesn't share them. So I told you last week that, you know, the Bible says, I've said that ye are gods. You have to say you are God in a context, because we pray to God, we don't pray to you. We worship God, we don't worship you. Are you following this thing? So God possesses non-communicable attributes that qualifies him to be God. So omnipotence is one of them. Omnipresence is the second. That means God is everywhere at the same time. He's here, he's down there, he's everywhere at the same time. No, even Satan, the Bible says he moves to and fro. Unfortunately, some believers even think Satan is omnipresent. So we think he's here tempting this one, he's here tempting that one, he's here whispering here. No, Satan only has good structures. Good organization. That's why he seems to look like he's omnipresent. He has very good structures. He has organized all the demons. Demons for Asia. Demons for Africa. He has put everything in place. And then number three, you must be omniscient, all-knowing. That's what qualifies you to be God. And guess what? The Holy Spirit is everywhere. The Holy Spirit is all-powerful, and the Holy Spirit is all-knowing. So I told you that the word of knowledge is an ability whereby you tap into the all-knowing ability of God and you give a portion of it. Are we following this? Is it a good recap for you?
Yes, sir.
So now we said in the book of Genesis, there are about six things that you need to notice which actually depicts the work of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you can open a window so that here is quite stuffy. Hallelujah. Now, when you read Genesis 1, the verse 1 to 5, remember the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And the earth was without form and void, darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that it was good, and God separated the light from the darkness and called the darkness night and called the light day. Now, in these things, remember I told you there were about six things that the Bible tells us which depicts the work of the Spirit, right? Now, number one, he says the Spirit of God, what? Brood over the waters. Now, the word brood is the word which we have, like a mother hen brooding over eggs to hatch it, right? That's the same word used there. So, like the mother broods over the mother hen broods over the eggs to make them hatch into life. That's the same word used for brooding, telling us that the first work of the Holy Spirit is regeneration, birthing sons. So the first work of the Holy Spirit is what? Regeneration. To make people born again. He's the one responsible for doing that. So if you get saved, it was the Holy Spirit that made that a reality. Please, are you following this? Number two, the second thing we saw there was the waters, hovered over the waters. What does water do? Cleansings. That means the second work of the Spirit is cleansing and refreshing. In John chapter 7 from the verse 35 to 39, he says that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. The next verse says, this spake he of the Spirit, which they shall receive when Jesus Christ is glorified. So the Holy Spirit's second work is refreshment and cleansing. Number three there, we saw formlessness. The earth was without form. That means formlessness. That means the thing does not have shape. The third work of the Spirit is to bring shape into your life. He shapes your life. Number four, we see the word void. The word void means emptiness. That means the fourth work of the Holy Spirit is to fill emptiness in your life. So that is why when the Spirit of God comes, he fills you. His work is to fill emptiness in your life. Number five, he said darkness was upon the face of the deep. That means the fifth work of the Holy Spirit is to bring light, illumination. He will take off what is mine and make it known to you. Light. Number six. And God separated the light from the darkness. See, anytime you're reading creation story, okay? The creation story was the best picture of the new creation story. So, if God made beauty out of chaos, it was a picture of how God makes beauty, the new creation, out of chaos, the fall. Are you following that? So listen, the believer's life, okay, is the second Genesis experience. Are you following that? So remember, there was chaos. What was mentioned there was the Spirit. Likewise, in the fall of man, what brings life and light to man is when the Spirit comes in. So what we saw in the power of God demonstrated in creation is only a type of the power of God demonstrated in the new creation.
So the same thing God did was to separate light from the darkness. So the fifth work the Holy Spirit does is to separate the believer. It's to separate the believer. So listen to me. Your life must be separated. We explained that. And number seven was beauty. Because after that, we began to see how the Spirit of God made the entire creation so beautiful. So the Holy Spirit makes the lives of people beautiful. Now, you need to know this, because if you don't know, you will not know how to relate to Him. These are His functions. If you are not yielded, you may not see these things happening in your life. Just like the man sat at the gate of beautiful, yet his life was not beautiful. I'm teaching good here. Now, today's message. So, we want to quickly look at something. Okay? It's actually a continuation on our teaching on the foundations of the spirit life. Now, before I teach you on the foundation of the spirit life, I'm teaching you about the spirit. Because if you want to live the spirit life, you must know the spirit. I told you the Spirit of God is the most important personality on earth, yet the most ignored. And you can imagine all your advantages, all the beauties of your life is in the Spirit, and yet many of you have ignored Him. About seven categories of spirit beings before we continue. Because if you want to know the Holy Spirit, we need to know of other spirits. Seven categories of spirit beings, or seven categories of spirits. Now, during my meditations, the Lord was sharing this with me, and I put something down. I believe it's going to help you. Now, there are about seven categories of spirit beings that every child of God that wants to live a spirit life must know. Praise God. Because, all right, let's just move into it. Now, the first category of spirit being is what we call the recreated human spirit. You'll be blessed by this teaching. The recreated human spirit. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, the verse 22 to the verse 24, it says, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels, and to the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven." He says, "And to the spirits of just men made perfect." Now, to the 23. He says, "We have come to the spirits of just men made perfect." So, the recreated human spirit is the spirit of the believer. Now, we need to understand that there's a very huge difference between the spirit of the believer and the spirit of the unbeliever. They are not the same. One is recreated, one is not. So, in the first category of spirit beings, we are looking at what? The recreated human spirit. Are you following this? So, every believer's spirit is recreated. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he says, "If any man be in Christ," so the condition is to be in Him. The Bible says he is a new creature, new species. All things that pass away, behold, all things have become new. So, the first category is the recreated human spirit. Now, maybe let me just educate you even some more. So, the recreated human spirit has three chambers, okay, or three compartments. The spirit of man is very vast. It has three compartments. The first compartment is what we call the conscience. The conscience. Now, your conscience is the part of you that either justifies or condemns you. It's the part of you that either justifies you or condemns you. You know, there are sometimes you don't even have a Bible. You don't even have a teacher teaching you about right and wrong. But there are some things you do, you just know is wrong. Are you getting that? What tells you that this thing is wrong? It's a conscience. Because in the old, there was no law. Before Israel became a nation, there was no law. So how did kings know that this is wrong? How did people know that sleeping with someone's wife is wrong? Because there was no law for it. But the conscience became what? A policeman. A secret policeman. Telling you, hey, macho. So your conscience is your secret policeman. Your conscience is the voice of your spirit. So there are things you may not hear anybody teaching you, but you just know this thing, it is wrong. I can't do it. It's your conscience. That's the first compartment. The second compartment of your spirit is what we call intuition or knowledge. Listen, there is knowledge and there is knowledge. There is a certain knowledge that University of Ghana can teach you. Are you following me? Now, have you realized that there are sometimes you are just there and you just think about somebody, the person comes. How did Jesus know that the person was around? These are intuitive knowings that cannot be explained. There are some things, do you know you can just know someone is lying? Did anybody tell you this guy is lying? No. But you just knew. We call it intuition. Have you been there? Sometimes you just sense something bad is about to happen. You can't explain and it happens. It's in your spirit. We call it intuition. So anybody that knows how to develop a spirit can develop his spiritual intuition. And one of the things that develops your spirit is speaking in tongues. You receive an education that no lecturer can give to you. I'm telling you. You just know things. And the third compartment of the human spirit is what we call worship. It's the part of you that worships God. Praise God. So the first category of spirit beings is what? 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 The recreated spirit. Now, quickly, because of time, the second category of spirits or spirit beings is what we call the falling human spirit. The falling human spirit. Prophet Francis Ajima just entered. Wow. Can we appreciate the man of God? Please. Okay. Man of God, please. Wow. He came from the U.S. on Friday. Hallelujah. That's where he's based, actually. God bless you. It's good to see you, man of God. Bless you, sir. Hallelujah. So we're looking at categories of spirit beings. We said the first category is what? The recreated human spirit. Number two is what? The fallen human spirit. Remember, I said the spirit of the believer is not the same as the spirit of the unbeliever. You don't carry the same spirit. The spirit of the unbeliever is falling. It's spiritually dead. Number three, quickly, we have angelic spirits. Angelic beings or angelic spirits. For this one, I don't have time to be talking about them. Okay, but they are angelic beings. Actually, they are also archangels. Then angels. I mean, the Bible tells us about three major archangels. One was Gabriel, in charge of the purposes of God, not just information. He's in charge of dispensing the purposes of God. That's the first archangel the Bible tells us. The second archangel is who? Michael, who is in charge of war. Praise God. So God knew that there's going to be war. And the third category is Lucifer. Sorry, the third archangel was Lucifer, who was the one in charge of worship. So, do you realize that one thing the devil fights more is worship? You know why? Because he has lost that opportunity. So, anything that seeks to worship God, he will spoil it. That's why he will make sure that he will corrupt a worship singer so that when he's worshiping, it will not carry any power. So Satan is envious of, you know why? Because God replaced him and made you, according to John 4:23, a true worshiper. So listen to me. So all these categories, okay? The archangel Gabriel, who is in charge of the purposes of God, has sub angels. Right? Michael, in charge of war, has angels under him. Lucifer, in charge of worship, has angels under him. So the Bible tells us that Satan still, according to Revelation 12, drew what? 1/3 of the angels. So he took a whole session of angels along with him in rebellion. That tells you the number of fallen angels there are in this world. 1/3. See, so listen, you know the world population is now 7.6 billion or something. 7.8 billion. Demons are like times 10. Fallen angels are like times 10 of the population of the world. So 10 is to 1 at least. That's the minimum at least. But no, you can imagine if a legion of demons was living in one man. And legion says, "What's your name?" He said, "We are legion." Only one man. So the 10, no, my boy, kakra, at least that one, I've even reduced the thing small. A whole legion was in one man. Praise God. So there are angelic beings, angels. Quickly, there are also creatures in heaven. Huh. So don't ever think they are only angels in heaven, no. There are creatures. When you read the book of Revelation, there are four living creatures there. When you read your Bible in Isaiah chapter 6, the verse 2, you will see cherubims. The reason why angels are angels is because they are messengers. They are creatures in heaven who are not sent. An angel means sent one. They are not sent. Seraphims, they are creatures. So, in his study, I got to realize that seraphims and cherubims are not angels. They are not angels. They are creatures in heaven. In fact, a description of the cherubims was that they have 6 wings. One is to fly, one is to cover their face because they can't behold God's glory. And one is to cover themselves. Hey! So, they are the guardians of the glory of God. They are the ones who have been crying holy, holy, holy for over 6,000 years now. They are the ones who they are not sent to. Praise God. And these are living beings in heaven. They are creatures in heaven. There was a time when I started my Christian journey. I was in prayer one of the times. I closed my eye. I saw an angel whose head was like a shark. For the first time in my life. I've never seen it again. And I don't want to see it again. Because I ran away. So listen, there are strange spirit beings in heaven. Now, are you following this thing? Because of time, I'll be teaching more on that later. And number 6, fallen angels. Sorry, number 5. Fallen angels. Now, let me make you understand something. There is a difference between fallen angels and demons. I'm going to explain it to you. Fallen angels are not demons. I'm going to explain. Now, fallen angels are angels that fell with Lucifer. Are you following this thing? Fallen angels are angels that did what? Fell with Lucifer. You can go home and read Jude chapter 1, verse 6. 2 Peter 2, 4 and Revelation 12, 7 to 9. Fallen angels are angels that fell together with Lucifer in rebellion. It's good we make you understand these differences. And number 6, there are demons. So, let me help you. Another name for fallen angels are called evil spirits. Evil spirits. And another name for demons are called unclean spirits. You will see the two when you are reading the four Gospels. Evil spirits, unclean spirits. So, fallen angels are evil spirits. Demons are unclean spirits. Now, let me explain. There is a difference between fallen angels and demons. How did demons come into play? Which are unclean spirits, or what we call disembodied spirits. Do you remember that in Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God, which were angels, came down to have affairs with the daughters of men, right? Someone says, how is that possible? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, it says, be careful to entertain what? Strangers, for by so doing, some have entertained what? Angels. That means angels have the ability to appear in human form. Amen? They can appear as humans. So, they use that same technology in Genesis 6 and slept with the daughters of men. Because remember, there was a prophecy that the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. So Satan wanted to corrupt the whole humanity so that no seed will remain. So Satan, through these angels, came down, slept with the daughters of men, and the Bible tells us they began to produce Nephilims. Now, these were humans, but they were corrupted human beings. Are you following that? It was believed that some had three eyes. Some had seven fingers. Some were giants that were produced out of the four. It was believed that some of them can enter into a town. They will eat all the food in the town in one day. They were the people that began to teach magic, witchcraft, sorcery. They were the source. Occultism. It came from these people. The human personality that came as a result of angels and humans mingling together. Are you following this thing? I'm giving you some serious education here. So remember, God sent a flood to do what? Destroy. So you see, that flood God sent was an act of his love. Because he had to clear these people. If not, they would have corrupted the whole human race and the Messiah would not come. So the flood was sent to destroy all these human personalities that have been corrupted. Are you getting that? So when the flood came, it wiped out all these strange human personalities that came as a result of angels, fallen angels sleeping with what? The women. Hear this carefully. When a human being dies, what comes? What happens? His spirit comes out of the body. When those corrupt human beings died, what happened? Their spirits. So now they were formerly human beings, but because of the flood that killed them, they became disembodied spirits. They are the ones called demons. So fallen angels came from heaven when they rebelled with Satan. But demons were once corrupt human beings who were killed by the flood, and now they don't have a spirit because no angel can dwell in a human being. So how come we say a demon lives in a human and we say come out? That was not an angel. That was a demon. He once had a body, so he knows how to enter bodies. No, please, are you getting this thing? So demons are unclean spirits. They have a spirit, but they are unclean. Their species is not right. So demonic spirits love to enter bodies. They become servants of fallen angels and they do their bidding. So remember, these demons who were disembodied spirits once had a body. So that means they know the human anatomy. They know the features of man. They know what it means to have lust. They know what it means to have anger. So when those demon spirits are entertained, they can enter you and exhibit their character through you. That's why there is demon of lust. What they do is to aid you, sponsor that thing you want to do that is not coming well. When you entertain anger, a demon of anger, which is responsible to help you, will come and help you make that anger a reality. So what demons do is that they come to exhibit their character in a human being they find available and opened. They are also spirit beings. That's why every child of God must be on guard. No fallen angel can live in you, but the demon can come and mess up. I'm teaching good. So now, number seven, oh, is it seven? Seven. Yes. So the seventh category of spirit beings is the Holy Spirit. Now, this education is very important because I've summarized all categories of spirits that ever exist. So we realize that this earth that we are on, we are not alone. There are invisible things going on. Do you know the way there are cities here? There are cities in the spirit. You don't know this. The way we are doing business, selling and buying. In the spirit, they're selling and buying. People's liver are being sold in the spirit. Oh, you don't know this thing. There's buying and selling in the spirit. And that's just by the way, when I'm talking about legalities, that's when we'll have some of these things being taught. So, we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is what? The Spirit of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When you read the book of John chapter 14, verse 16 in Amplified Version, the Bible tells us that he's a comforter and gives about six descriptions of the Holy Spirit for us to know his work in our lives. Oh my goodness. Look, he says, and I will ask the Father and he will give you what? Another comforter. Now into brackets, he begins to explain what it means for the Holy Spirit to be another comforter. What's number one? What? Counselor. That means the Holy Spirit can give you counsel. Now, if you have an issue, have you ever asked the Holy Spirit to counsel you before? He is the best counselor you can ever find. But there are protocols to arrive at that place. Number two is what? Helper. No, how can you see this and do things without him? God gave you the Holy Spirit to come and help you. You see, that's what people don't realize. You know, sometimes you guys are blessed by my Sunday meetings. Before I come here, I don't trust my notes, so I beg him to help me. So he carries these same words and puts spirit power in those words because it came from him. And I'm going to be teaching you, there's time, about, you see, how to encourage the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. For example, you don't just open the Bible because you want to do Bible reading. Then you just open the Bible and reading. No, you start with a certain acknowledgement. You acknowledge the Spirit by telling the Holy Spirit, I'm just about to open the Word. I'm so blind. Without you, I have no way. I have no revelation. Can you open my eyes so I see your Word? That is how to encourage his ministry. He calls him helper. Now, if somebody comes to help you, that means you must be doing something. For example, if I say, man of God, please help me to carry this pulpit. That means I'm holding one side. So let's do it together. So this man is only helping me. Are you following this thing? So, you know, many want the Holy Spirit to intervene in an activity they are not doing. You said you want to understand the word of God. First of all, you must start opening it. You want to be a man of prayer. First of all, you must start with prayer. So when it is becoming difficult, then you ask for help. Then he comes to help what you're already doing in obedience to God. Are you following something here? So some are disappointed in the Holy Spirit. Meanwhile, the Holy Spirit is disappointed in them. Help me. What are you doing? What are you doing? He's called helper. Look, he says intercessor. This is good. You know what it means? It means the Holy Ghost is praying for you. Number four, he says advocate. You know advocate? Lawyer. Number five, he says what? Strengthener. Say, Holy Spirit, strengthen me. He can give you strength. Listen, if you can depend on the Holy Spirit, he will help you to do impossible things. I remember one time, the day I told you I was praying for 24 hours. It got to a time, by the time I got to the 18th hour in the prayer, I was locked. And it was as though my heart was about to experience heart attack. Then I just shouted, Holy Spirit, strengthen me. Then all of a sudden, I fell into a trance. And in the trance, I saw a hand with a metallic hat on it. And I saw another hand remove my hat and place the metallic hat there. Then I woke up. That was how I received strength to be able to pray for that 24 hours. So now, if you don't deploy strength from the Holy Spirit, you see, now you can imagine, okay, that God has given you someone to be around you and you're not acknowledging the person. Can he do something to help you? No. Imagine you have a big textbook like this, and you're going to write examination, and you didn't learn for 3 months, and you have 2 weeks to go and write the exams. Now, question, which one from this big textbook is going to come? So that means that you need something from the Holy Ghost. Do you realize that the Bible tells us in the book of Kings that there was a Syrian king who plotted how he was going to attack Israel? By the time they were come to attack, there was a counterattack. And they said, which one of you here is betraying us? And one said, there is a prophet in Israel. Who whatever you say in your private chambers, the Lord reveals to him. Oh, that means that the Holy Ghost can show you questions before they appear. He can even tell you interview questions. If you can know how to deploy it. There's a prophet. Hey! Say, Holy Spirit, help me. So he's a strengthener. There was a time I was so stressed and it was time for prayer. I think it was one of my all-night meetings. And I knew this 6 hours, I can't do it. Because when I started, you know, when you can pray long, you know it when you start. The first 5 minutes. You know this one can't last for 6 hours. You can predict the tongues. I knew this one won't last. And I just said, Holy Spirit, help me. Within 5 to 10 minutes, all of a sudden, I prayed close to 6 hours, 30 minutes. And I was so strong. And I realized that, listen, the Holy Spirit can do beyond our human capacity. I'm telling you. So listen, if you don't have a personal encounter with the Holy Spirit, then you live a normal life. I have studied this Bible for 18 hours before. You won't believe it. One place. How is that possible? It comes by the quickening of the Holy Spirit. He can stir up desires. Listen, the Bible says it is God who works in you, both to will and to do. That means the Holy Ghost can work things in you. You lose desires about certain things. And then look, he says, stand by. Stand by. In the days when you are weeping, the Holy Ghost is standing by. You know, sometimes you feel you are all alone in life. I can tell you on authority, you're not alone. There is a standby you are not recognizing. There's a standby you're not realizing. Who is always by your side. Weep on his head. Weep on his shoulders. Tell him that, Holy Spirit, I know you are here, but I'm alone. Tell him. He will start changing some desires inside you. You will know you have met with him. You will know you have had an encounter with him. He's invisible, but real. He can be experienced. Do you know the Holy Ghost has tickled me before? You won't believe it. Yes. He wants to be your friend though. If you are looking for proper concern, it's the Holy Ghost. He can tell you things about people before you meet them. He can choose your friends. This one coming. Be careful. Doesn't have a good spirit. Be careful. It's not a fallen spirit. Be careful. And you meet with them. The person is smiling. But in the spirit, the Holy Ghost has told you who the person is. Listen. There are people though. A man can come into your life, and the man looks like an angel. Sweetheart, sweetheart, don't touch it. You know, so a woman is not supposed to be doing this. Come on, get up. Let me do that job for you. You're a special lady, I mean. In the heart, beyond the niceness of that person, the Holy Ghost can tell you. Or no, Srekwa. Hey! The Holy Ghost can tell you things. Praise God. There was a time a man called me and told me that the person he wants to marry, there's a certain complication about the whole thing that he wants to tell me the full story because he's fed up about this thing. He said a whole lot of things. I said, okay, call me the next morning and let's talk. So I woke up at dawn and I was praying. In the prayer, I felt sleepy and then I just fell into a trance. And I saw that a woman with some bushed hair, like the hair was cut. She was standing dark, looking at me, and then she was pregnant. Then I just came out of it. He called me that morning after prayer. So once he was talking to me, he was coming to talk about the lady. He didn't add the issue he was supposed to talk. Tell me, he didn't add that one. So I said, please, before we start, is the lady pregnant? He was quiet on the phone. And he said, man of God, it's a long story. Now, he began to narrate to me what happened before the pregnancy came. Now, if he didn't give me that information, he was about to tell me a story to solve something I didn't have full knowledge of. If the Holy Spirit does not help you, you'll be working and working with information that's not even complete in the first place. Listen, this Holy Spirit we are talking about, he's real. I am telling you, he can find, listen, everybody has their own uniqueness, okay? You can build a certain uniqueness. The Holy Ghost can find different means of talking to you. Are you following this thing? So, listen, as you are working with the Holy Spirit there are some of you who tell you that you, 3 to 5 a.m. is the time my voice will be more stronger. That's when a lot of visions will come when you obey me. You have to obey, you have to stick to that one, though. There are some of you, when something bad is about to happen, you feel like vomiting. It's part of the communications you can have with you. So everybody uniquely, when you spend time with the Holy Spirit, when you get to know the Holy Spirit, when you start to work with the Holy Spirit, he will find a very unique way of communicating with you. A man of God went to Germany in a shopping mall. And he saw a mother holding a child. And the Holy Ghost said, go and slap the child. Germany. And he said, no. What are you telling me here? You better deport me. And he heard the voice again. Go and slap the child. And the thing became strong. Extremely strong. He just went. Pah! And the man said, what? You slapped my child? He took the phone, about to call the police. Suddenly, the child said, Mama, I can hear. Not knowing the right ear of the child was deaf completely. That slap brought it up. Hey! The spirit life. But please, if you didn't hear that voice, don't try this at home. You lose your career. Another pastor had an experience when at dawn 5 a.m. he was in a traffic light, red, and he heard the voice of God said, don't obey the red, go. And he said, I want to be a law-abiding citizen. And he stopped the car, 5 a.m. Now, oh, 5 a.m., we'll obey traffic. Okay, you, let's, for the purpose of preaching, obey. 5 a.m. Yeah, if you're in America, you have to obey. You will try a ticket. The Holy said, go. He was still there. Armed robbers came, opened the door, threw him out. He was only fortunate they didn't kill him. And they took his car away. Listen, this Holy Spirit is real. There are times he can talk to you to do certain things you don't understand. I spoke to you about one of my pastor friends last week. Archbishop, Apostle Abagna. They had two lands. He had built a church, one of the lands. And they had another two plots elsewhere. And then the Lord told him to move the church building here and build a 1,000 capacity auditorium here and use that old land for school. He was confused, but later he obeyed the Holy Spirit and they went to relocate there. The moment they were about to finish, someone came and said the land has also been sold to him. So there was a bit of litigation. They had to go to meet the chiefs and all that. They settled it, they were continuing. Another person also came and said that the land has been sold. And this issue was solved, and the person by which he solved it with came to him and said that, listen to me, I'm telling you the secret why this thing was not prolonged. The only reason why we didn't bring this building down was because it was a church. You know what that means? Which means if he built the school there, the building would have come down. The Holy Ghost. One time I finished my devotion. I've shared it here several times. When we had the land where we are going to build, I finished the devotion. The moment I finished the devotion, the Lord said, go and, you and the pastors, go and have your Friday prayer meeting on the land, which is not normal. The thing was growing strong. So I called and I said, let's all go and meet in the evening for Friday prayers on the land. When we went there, one of the ministers was using a torch. He doesn't even know how it happened. We saw someone had killed a live fowl and put it in the middle of the land. So, by word of knowledge, the Holy Spirit said the agenda was that we were not coming to the land anytime soon. And the animal was going to rot. And as long as the animal is rotting, that's why the ministry will rot. So, we bent it. We anointed it. And when we were done, we left. And the Lord said, that was why I told you to come to the land. Listen, if we learn to walk with the Holy Spirit, and someone is confused, he says, man of God, so where do I start from? Where do I start from? Because how can I just go and tell the Holy Ghost that Holy Ghost guide me? How can I go and start? Now, let me tell you something. If you have not called your friend for 1 year, which is 12 months, you have not called him. Meanwhile, that friend called you, couldn't pick up, and it was a missed call. You never called back for 1 year. And now you need a favor, and only him can do it. Can you call the person confidently? You miss his call, he never called back for 1 year. Now you need a favor from him. Remember, he knows you didn't call him back. Can you boldly call the person? You lose confidence, and you may not ever be even able to ask the person. Many of us have treated the Holy Ghost that way. He calls us, we give him missed calls. We never attend to him. We never fellowship with him. In time of trouble, do you see that you don't even think of the Holy Ghost first? Because the confidence is not even there. So the first way of engaging fellowship with the Holy Spirit is beginning with the prayer life. That's the first step. So quickly, I want to teach you on how the Holy Spirit can become effective in our lives. How the ministry of the Holy Spirit can become effective in our lives. Let me do this in 5 minutes. How the ministry of the Holy Spirit can become effective in our lives. So listen to me. If you want the Holy Spirit's ministry to become effective in your life, there are some protocols that need to be practiced. Number one is to develop a consistent, protracted prayer life. Now, the Holy Spirit is actually the gatekeeper. He's the portal of prayer. The Bible calls him the spirit of supplication according to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. In fact, when it comes to prayer, the Bible calls him pray in the spirit. So even prayer is attributed to the spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the one in charge of prayer and supplication. So anytime, now hear this, he's a spirit of supplication. Anytime you begin to develop a prayer life, the ministry of the Holy Spirit becomes actively operative in your life. That is why in Ephesians 6, 10, the Bible says, praying always with all prayer in the spirit. To pray in the spirit means three things. Number one, to pray in the spirit means to pray in tongues. So anytime you are praying in tongues, you are praying the Holy Spirit. Number two, to pray in the spirit means to pray Holy Ghost directed prayers. It means to pray what? Holy Ghost directed prayers. There are some prayer topics you don't find in the Bible, but the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you on how to pray it. Number three, to pray in the spirit means to pray in the strength of the Holy Spirit. So now, you just sense that you are supposed to pray for your mother. So how are you going to pray for your mother? Because you just sense this. So how are you going to go about it? It's the Holy Spirit that's going to help you. So listen, anybody that introduces prayer begins to get prophetic. I say, man of God, I want to walk in the prophetic. Man of God, of course there are impartations. If you want to walk in the prophetic ministry, you can come and see Prophet Francis. He can do impartation for you. But there's a protocol. If you don't obey those protocols, you can never walk in the prophetic. So if you want to be a prophetic person and you don't have a prayer life, forget about it. Are you following this thing? So listen, most of the things that we call prophetic are only feedbacks from intimacy. So for example, you spend 2 hours praying tongue, kalabata, kalabata. When you're done at 5 a.m., you went to sleep. The feedback of that 2 hour tongues was the revelation you saw, which you call prophetic. Is someone getting something here at all? So it begins with prayer. The moment you start developing a very serious, addictive prayer life, you activate the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You'll find different things. Your impressions become stronger. Your intuition becomes louder. You know when something is wrong. You know. You just know. You can't explain, but you know. This thing begins with prayer. There are some of you are complaining that now when I dream, I forget. Bro, you forget too. You forget. You want to be sharp in capturing dreams. Begin with a prayer life. I'm teaching good here. Quickly, number two. The second way of making the Holy Spirit's ministry affecting your life is yielding or yieldedness. Yieldedness. Yielding to the Holy Spirit is one of the most difficult things. If you want the Holy Spirit's ministry to become powerful in your life, learn to yield. The best explanation of yielding is two. Number one is Adam. How Eve came from Adam. Adam was put into a deep sleep where he can't move, because if his eyes were open and God cut his rib open, he said, "Already didn't know you, hey, father, me know what you trying to say." So God had to put him into sleep so that he doesn't move. Let me tell you something. If you want God to bring something good out of your life, you must yield. So the deep sleep of Adam is a type of yieldedness. He was open, yielded to God. The second example of yieldedness is that of a clay and a potter. A clay does not tell the potter what he's supposed to do. It is the potter that does it. You know how a potter can take a clay like that, then he smashes. Bah! The clay doesn't say anything. Squeeze it. Use the thumb to press it, chuck it. mold it, press it. That's an example of yieldedness. The clay doesn't say anything. Waits until his life is molded. And the only way the Holy Spirit can mold our lives is when we are yielded. And we are the clay, he's the potter. Has the Holy Ghost ever told you to go and apologize to your wife before? Oh, you don't know this thing. It's difficult to. A man of God. 7 months. Hey! I told you of that argument we had at midnight, and then the next morning we were having prayers. When we were having a prayer, we were all singing, rejoicing, and I heard the Holy Ghost, when you are done, go and greet your wife. I said, no, if I greet her, everything will be solved too early. I want to prolong the fight some more. You know, sometimes there are some fights you don't want it to end now. That was the kind of fight we were fighting. I wanted to prolong the fight. Say, yeah, you know, how are you? How am I here? The Holy Ghost said, when you go and talk to her. And tell her, yes, you remember, and tell her, I love you. I said, I love you, the lie, Holy Ghost. That one, I don't say it. And we're praying, the Holy Ghost was waiting. We finished, and then we say, in Jesus' name, he said, we are waiting for you. Then I watch like that, watch her like that. I say, hey, Raddy, see, if I go, it will be like she has won, no. She'll be the one, it's as though she's the one. And I went, I said, I love you. And he said, Krawaka. Hey, he would tell you to do some crazy things. I'm telling you, that's yieldedness. So at that time, he's polishing you, he's molding you, he's squeezing you, he's shaping you. There are some things you make you do you never understand. Have you ever come to church? You are worshiping in the name of Jesus. You are worshiping. The Holy Ghost said, empty your pocket in the offering. And you hear the voice again, empty your pocket in the offering bowl. And you are still worshiping him. And you are pretending you have not heard it. And the Holy Ghost said, empty your pocket. You will know that that praise is not, that worship is not making sense. You know. And some have truncated their process because they skipped it. Listen, the Holy Spirit is actually on the way. He knows your future. So there are some things he'll tell you to do now. He's actually preparing a better future for you. I was living in a 1.5 bedroom. No, I'm not there again, so I can say it. And the entrance to that place was that half. Okay. And that place, we were sharing it with war geckos. And when it rains, it enters there. So when people want to visit, I tell them I'm not available. So one day I was watching a man of God, and it was in Nazuma, so it's expensive. So I was watching a man of God. The Lord said, go and look for the man and give him your rent. That was almost $2,000. Then, Akufa has changed it now. So I said, hey, how do I do this? Because if I do this, how can I even tell my wife? I said, hey. I was watching the thing. I said, I won't do it. Because we have only 3 weeks. I said, I won't do it. And the Holy Ghost said, go and give it to him. Go and give it to him. Go and give it to him. And I gave up. I had the man of God's number. And I called him. I said, Daddy, please. The Lord said I should do this. How do I send it to you? He said, you can't meet me because I'm not around. I said, so how do we do? He said, send Momo. I said, okay. So I went to look for different places to send the Momo and everything. There was no place because of the amount. So I called him and I said, man of God, Daddy, please, I can't get a place. He said, keep searching. I said, you're suffering open Momo. So I kept searching, driving all around, and then I went there. I got a place. The moment I sent, he said, I've received it. And he prayed some deadly prayers for me. I was crying. He thought it was the power of God. I was weeping when he was praying for me. And I came home. Now I have to tell my wife what I've done. We have 3 weeks. And my landlord just kept timing me like that. You know, when your rent is about to be due, they'll be passing by when they're not supposed to be passing by. I knew they're late. Long and short of the story, God gave us a 3-bedroom place. And I didn't pay a CD for that 3-bedroom. So at that time, I was desiring to have extra rooms where I can have a prayer room. And God said, okay, since you're going to do a prayer room, this is the shortcut to make it happen. If I fail to listen. Now, when I did that, that miracle didn't come instantly. But I saved the future. Please, are you getting this thing? So the Holy Spirit will tell you different kinds of things. Has he ever told you that this shoe you are wearing, it's not for you? Go and give it out. Several times. Shoes, watches, you can ask. Somebody can give me a brand new watch today. And the Lord said, give it to the. I'm preaching. The Holy Ghost said, this watch is not for you. And I'm preaching. How can you do this? Wait for me to finish preaching. No, it's a serious matter. So he will speak to you in different ways because he wants to change your life. I remember when I came from India, they gave me quite some good seed. When I came, the Holy Ghost said, start distributing it to men of God. Meanwhile, I'm supposed to use this to do my wedding. No. And I started distributing. I give this. Guess what? I only wore shoe for the wedding. Everything was handled. And listen, so the Holy Ghost was saying, what you are doing is actually your wedding expenses you are paying. This one is not tappable. Some things are not tappable. They are doable. You have to obey. So listen to me. There is one thing the Holy Ghost will require from you if you want to walk with him. Obedience. If you are not willing to obey, your walk with him cannot be. You decided to break your fast at 2 p.m. You went to buy the food. You put the food down. You open the food. The Holy Ghost will extend it to 6. Then you whack the food. And you said that my spirit is willing, but the flesh. Then you continue eating. That is how you truncate the process. There's a time I prayed for close to 10 hours. When I finished, the Holy Ghost said, continue. I said, continue what? Continue what? 10 hours. And so many. And you will never understand why he's saying that. I did a 24-hour fast one time. When I finished in the morning, I decided to buy jollof 6:30 a.m. from Ekute. So I went to Ekute. I bought the jollof. When I brought the jollof to the kitchen, the Holy Ghost said, leave it in the kitchen for now. Let's go and pray. I said, Holy Ghost, wait here, Maso. Anyway, I ate the food anyway. I ate it anyway. So I'm not only telling you the positive side. So you see me as an archangel. There was a time, there was a series that was in the fridge for like 2 weeks. And the Holy Ghost said, don't drink it. Don't drink it. I said, I'll drink it. Don't drink it. By the time I realized, I finished the fasting. You know, and I was playing tatis with my son's football. Me bok, back in the ball series. And then in the goof. See, Holy Ghost, you said I shouldn't drink it, but you wait for me to say I won't drink it. But you pour the thing away. In the car, I can't miss. I'm not count. So I'm telling you my failures. So you realize it's a journey. You will fail. You will fail. And sometimes you wake you up at 4 a.m. You know that you have to go. The Holy Ghost is tapping you. So go. You say, hey. Then I guess there. You are not praying. You're just there like that. And you know you have to get up. Has it happened to you before? Yeah. Uh-huh. We are all in the same game. But listen, anytime you obey, that means you are ready for promotion. Yeah. So there are some of you, there's a realm he wants to bring you. In the school, in the spirit, and there's a school. Oh. There are some of you, you have been Christians for 10 years, but you're still in denizenry. You see, many of you don't know, in the physical, you go ahead by writing exam. In the spirit, you go ahead by obedience. So any act of obedience you obey is going to cost you something because it's inconvenient to obey. When you obey, he moves you to the next level. So listen to me, until you have obeyed that very thing the Holy Ghost is demanding from you, you are still in the same class. And in the spirit, there's still repetition. You'll be repeated until you learn that big lesson in the spirit. I'm teaching you some serious stuff here. And some of you, God told you long ago to do certain things. You have ignored it completely. In the spirit, and they are fresh. Until you go back to them, it's still the same. Am I helping you? There's a prayer I want you to pray today as I close. The Holy Spirit, teach me your ways and your path. Just pray this prayer for me for the next 30 seconds. Everyone, including me, need this prayer. Because all our struggles is as a result of not listening to the Holy Spirit. As you are praying, you are also praying the Holy Spirit, make your voice clearer to me. Make your voice clearer to me. Make your voice clearer to me. Teach me your ways. For the Father left you for me. To take care of me. To bring me insight and revelation. To make my life beautiful. That is why the Holy Ghost came. To make your life beautiful. He cannot be ignored. He cannot be left. Apologize to him for ignoring all those things he shared with you months ago. He told you to do a 40-day fast alone without the church. And you didn't listen to him. He told you to start praying at 1 o'clock. It's been 3 months since you obeyed that voice you heard. He told you to give out certain things. Your heart has been hardened. You are going to apologize to him and restart the whole schooling again. You are telling him, Holy Spirit, that thing you told me, help me to obey. Help me, Jesus. He told you to forgive that man. He told you to forgive that woman. You are still not forgiven. Your school program is going to delay. You are telling him, Holy Ghost, please, I'm sorry for not listening to your voice. I'm sorry. I choose to forgive now to make up for my mistakes and my errors in the spirit. Talk to him. Shalabolos Faliguse Felekutende Suke Shaibeleku Nabi Esotakaba. You have 1 minute more. Just pray that prayer. Lead me in a way everlasting. Search my heart, Lord. Guide me. I want to know you more. I want to have an encounter with you, Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. He can give you anointing. He can restore those visions you are trusting him for. He's a garnisher. He's a strengthener. He's the intercessor. He's the standby. He's the helper you need. Homa pavri esunda. Kailush fala brondo soka. He will make you that prophet you are trusting him for. He will make you that businessman you are trusting him for. If you only listen to him, he can give you ideas that will blow your mind. He can give you suggestions that is out of this world, that doesn't make sense. Oh bo shavi lo brana suke bele alibi dio safala bra kom meleketaza wapele meko bra sibele komra bakapaya. Oh Jesus, moli vro sibele komra digis. He meteti wo falalu sifraru tasige mejava vuana makombo azazivrokos shabilo keprene nosafila pakayas. Oh, now just begin to thank him and bless him. Just thank him and bless him. Just thank him and bless him. Oh dear Father, you are so faithful and we are grateful. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your help. Thank you, my Lord and my Father, my King and my Prince. I adore you. Thank you, my Lord. We give you praise, Lord. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your hand and your heart. Thank you, Father, for instructing us by your word about living the spirit life. For your word says, without you, we can do nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. That means our lives will amount to nothing without you. So we have come to realize that in this journey, if you are out of it, then we are out of the journey. You are purpose. You are vision. You are goals. You are our target. We ask for spirit help. We ask for spirit power. We ask for spirit strength. Oh, Jesus, help us to abide in you. Guide us and fill us with your spirit. May we never be the same again. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.